Hello and welcome to The Ticket, your premier podcast for everything customer service and support, presented by Intercom. Now, we all know that AI is transforming customer service in all sorts of ways. Customers are getting answers faster than ever, and support teams are benefiting from a whole new range of efficiencies. There are going to be lots of huge consequences of this shift, not least in how it will reshape customer support careers. The responsibilities and opportunities are already beginning to look very different. Joining us today are Ruth O'Brien, Senior Director of Automated and Proactive Support, and Bobby Stapleton, Senior Director of Human Support. As we explore how traditional roles in customer support are evolving with AI, Ruth and Bobby will talk about their journeys from performing routine tasks to embracing strategic, tech-driven responsibilities. This episode is a must-listen for anyone interested in the future of customer support careers. At a time of great change like this, the fresh insights and perspectives you can hear in this conversation feel more vital than ever. For listeners who are more interested in learning how we design and build, be sure to check out our sister podcast, Intercom on Product. Search for it in your podcast player or visit inter.com/product podcast to get every episode. Okay, let's head over to studio to Ruth and Bobby.
Hi, Ruth. Welcome to the Ticket Podcast. Thanks for joining us today.
Hi, Bobby. Thanks for having me.
So today we're going to be chatting about how the traditional CS career is changing in the era of AI. But before we get started, can you describe, like, how would you describe support careers in the old world, just to set the stage?
It helps that I had a support career in the old world, or still have in this middle world that we're in at the moment. But when I think about the first support job that I had, so much of what I did was, to be honest, like, kind of boring manual work. Like the same kind of repetitive tasks one after the next, whether it was, you know, me on phone calls, answering the phone one after the next, kind of answering the same question over and over again, or replying to emails / tickets. And again, answering the same kind of questions over and over again, or using these like templates that we'd have to manually put into emails. So at the time when I had my first support role, I remember being like, I really like helping people. I love the end result when somebody's happy. What I don't love is how much they need to wait to get through to me in the first place. And then for me, in terms of learning and being challenged, that I'm kind of doing the same thing over and over again. So that's my experience of some support roles of the past. And even when I think about my first management role, again, very manual. There was so much stuff I had to do to like put through spreadsheets or like fill in all these forms. And I'm excited to say that things are changing.
And before we move on, tell me a little bit of like, how would you see career pathing? Like, you described that entry level position CS, but what were some of the positions like after that?
Okay, so something in between, actually, when I was an agent, a frontline agent and a manager, I was a QA person, so quality assurance. But again, at the time, we're going back, I'm not going to age myself too much here, but we're going back a while. And again, it was like so many spreadsheets, manual input to spreadsheets. And that was the way I saw my career within support at the time. The moves that I could make were typically a move into management or maybe something like QA. And often myself and my colleagues at the time didn't really see a whole lot else for us. So it was either leadership of some sort or move out of the support org completely. And there was a real vibe actually sometimes about like, you know, I'm just going to do this until I figure out what I actually want to do, or I figure out where else in the company I can go, or like what other company I can move to. And I'm delighted to say that now things are totally different, where there is this whole rich career ladder available to people in all sorts of different directions if they start out as a support agent.
Yeah, and I think back to even when I first started Intercom, like we had our support specialist one, so support specialist two, and some of the differentiators were like the level two was focusing on like more complex product areas or areas of the product that were less defined, like we didn't have the tools or the workflows quite figured out. So there was these competencies of having to deal with ambiguity and help be part of the ones building and chasing towards problems. And so I think what's interesting to see how some of those competencies like are still persisting, but like the makeup of the work across these jobs, like you said, are radically changing. So yeah, that leads us to this next question. Like, you know, fast forward to today in this new world of AI, like how do you see these positions changing? And how has the career trajectory kind of start to change in this new world?
What's so interesting for our team here at Intercom is how our tier one, I guess we call them, our associate technical support specialists, that's not tier one in the classic sense. So we do support pretty complex software products, right? But also because the world in the industry has changed, there's so much more importance put on having a really great help center, having bots up front and center to be able to either triage properly or answer questions properly in the case of Finn. So now our like first level of frontline support agent who comes into us, they have to, you know, be so well able and well capable of so much more than, you know, like answering the question that's in front of them, right? Because now we have bots answering those types of questions. And the competencies around like empathy for other humans, wanting to genuinely like wanting to help people, like all of that we still need, right? But when I think about folks coming into a support career, it's certainly viewed as a lot more skilled than I think it was previously. And of course, in the old world, there were like very skilled technical roles, right? But when we speak about that classic kind of tier one idea in the industry, I think that's after completely changing too. The old tier one job that I spoke about, like my very first support role, I think that that's completely changed now. And folks need to be prepared for, I suppose, a lot more of a complex role as the first level role within the support industry.
Yeah, I was looking at a like org chart from another support company, and they were talking about their tier one team, and it was like, figure out what the customer's question is and like get it sent to the right team and try like one or two information triaging steps before you pass it on to that tier two agent. And again, like all of those tasks, like all of those jobs now are completely handled by AI. They're being handled by Finn, handled by workflows. So that, like, I thought Des described it well, like that entry level rung on the ladder. Like the ladder is absolutely still there, but like that rung has maybe gone up a notch. And so like, yeah, even the entry level position, it's like, yeah, there aren't any quick and easy answers anymore. Like the things that are coming through to humans are going to require you to have to poke around to try to find something that's not clear cut. That's why the bots can handle it, or it's already in the right place and you already have the five steps to kick off the troubleshooting to begin with because the bots already asked it, right? So you're hitting the ground running on some pretty tough stuff. So have you noticed anything change farther up the career ladder, thinking about some of the like higher level positions in CS career pathing?
Yeah, I mean, I think about some of the roles on our own team. We've had a help center manager for quite some time. It was somebody who would write the help articles for our product, make sure that they're available to our customers. And as you know, that role has been elevated massively with Finn coming along and Finn needing knowledge to work properly for our customers. So the person who was our help center manager by title and by responsibility has now moved into a knowledge management role. So it goes beyond just, it's a big enough job to try and keep a help center maintained for a large product, right? As you know, we have our knowledge manager now oversee our knowledge strategy, which is a bigger, broader body of work than simply maintaining the help center, which was difficult enough in the first place. So what's cool with this is that our knowledge manager oversees the various different types of content that are being fed into Finn AI agent for our customer facing answers that our bots are giving, but then also our internal content now as well to enable our co-pilot, Finn AI co-pilot, to work accurately. So it's becoming a bigger and far more impactful broad scope of a role. And the cool thing with that is because managing all that is far too much for one person, it means that a bunch of the frontline folks can now spend part of their time contributing to this content strategy. And again, that's like that upskilling piece, doing something a bit different, not always be working, you know, one customer after the next. You get a bit of a break in terms of doing something different, doing something cool where you can see that it contributes to our bot strategy, and then also contributes overall to our resolution rate and gives people more time then because the bots are answering more questions that when they're dealing with a human, they can deal with the more complex stuff. So it's cool to see it like so well-rounded. And then the other role that's new on our team is conversation designer. So we hired our first conversation designer just over a year ago. And at the time, it was just at the dawn of Finn starting to come into being. So we were hiring the person thinking that it would be workflows that they would be mostly optimizing, a little bit of our old bot product resolution bot. But it quickly turned into a Finn implementation position alongside optimizing our workflows and optimizing workflows in Finn to work together to ensure that customers are getting this amazing AI first and automated experience before they get through to the human. So there's some pretty cool new roles that are going on right now. And then my own role, as you know, has changed. I was leading the frontline EMEA team for customer support when we were hand in hand in our human support leadership. And I've now moved into a role that's focused on overseeing the team that implements our knowledge strategy and our AI and automation strategies as well, which is something I never even dreamed of, say like 2 years ago. And now here I am talking about it on a podcast.
That's awesome. And tell me a little bit about how, because every support team knows the battle of fighting for headcount. Like, how have you been thinking about, and this is something we've been talking in our one-on-ones about, like, how have we been thinking about having these dedicated new positions to work on some of these additional new, like, AI tasks versus folding that into some of the areas of responsibility for teammates and agents? Like, what do you see as, like, dedicated position versus, like, this is best crowdsourced amongst the whole team?
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? I think it's going to be like slightly different depending on the company and the team and their needs and the level of inbound volume that they have, the type of work that they need to do, and the headcount that they're able to take onto their team as well. So when I think about our headcount discussions for this year, one discussion we were having was, do we add another knowledge manager? Because we know that our one knowledge manager, it's too much for one human to do all of that work in terms of creating all the new content for every new product or feature that's released. Every time something in the UI is updated, half the help center needs to be updated as well. Internal knowledge, how to be like optimizing that, and then also be doing like regular audits, all the stuff that goes into a content management strategy, we realized obviously is way too much for one person. And we had discussions around, should we hire a second person because we're using so many hours of the rest of the wider team's time to contribute to this knowledge strategy? At what point, if you're doing 40 hours that across the team, you just need like another person? And I think what was interesting that came of that as we were debating and trying to decide what to do was that we realized that, you know, even if we did hire a second person onto that team, we'd still need people from the wider team to be involved here because they're the people who work with customers every day. They're the people who have the most up-to-date product expertise. And even if you were an agent previously and you move into another role, you lose your product knowledge like pretty quickly when that's not your focus all the time. So we decided against hiring a second person for now, and we have loads of hours dedicated to split across the rest of the team to help us with content strategy. But that was actually a deliberate decision to make sure that we're having the people who work directly with customers actually building out some of this content and making sure that they're doing it in a way that's really understandable for customers and that it's, you know, they can do the audits and make sure that everything is up to date. But again, that's going to depend on the team, the level of complexity of their product, how many hours they have to give, how much headcount they have to give. I think like folks do need to come to that decision themselves. But I thought it was interesting that we were kind of going in with wanting a second person, which we might want to get in future. But we came down on having multiple people across the team continue to contribute along with somebody who is overseeing the strategy overall.
Yeah. And what I'm hearing from you is really highlighting this idea that for the frontline agents, this idea of like, all I do is sit here and take tickets, and turning that on its head to actually be a motivator of like, hey, one of your biggest strengths, one of your best, most markable skills that you can add to the CSO or to the rest of the company is the fact that you have this deep product knowledge and that you have this close pulse of the customer experience, and using that to then be able to, whether it's improving our AI resources, all the knowledge bits, or yeah, updating our workflows or other parts of the customer experience. And it's a small kind of subtle shift, but I think like one that, again, is valuable for career pathing and not for folks to not just have to think like, how do I get out of CS, but really value those skills that they're building.
I mean, if you have though like that work split across more people on the team, that's more folks who are upskilling, more people who are career pathing, you know, longer term, rather than just transferring one person into a position like that, right? So you're actually like doing more for the engagement across the board to have more people involved in this kind of work.
Yeah. And last thing I'll say before we move on to leadership is like, you know, that's something we've been just really trying to experiment and like test and learn from, even with our own human support team. Like, we've added some new rungs to the ladder, knowing that the ladder has gone up. And with that came like new job descriptions, highlighting the complexity, the ambiguity, the white glove touch. And even some of the new positions that we've added in, it's like, we think we have like the right areas of focus for them, but I think it's going to continue to really change and evolve. And I, you know, I can promise we'll be more, we'll be updating these performance profiles and job descriptions quite a bit, because that's just, again, how quickly things are changing and as what those like higher tiers are going to be required to really be adaptable and flexible. So,
yeah, I even think of things that we're like only scratching the surface of right now in terms of the types of roles that are to come. I think they actually do exist in some companies, but I've heard of a role called prompt engineer, and I've heard some people be like, what is that? Like, how is that even a role? But it is like actually training bots to understand the different ways that people ask questions or like pick up on the different ways that folks need to gather information. Like, there's so much to that, and we're seeing more and more the more time we spend with Fin AI agent and in this new world, that some of these roles that probably maybe a year and a half ago, people would have been like, what even is that? They're actually coming to fruition now. And I bet there's loads more to come. And then, like you said, in terms of the frontline roles, the different types of work that those folks need to get involved in and become more consultative with customers, spend more time with customers because more time is being freed up for them when the AI agent is dealing with more conversations. I just think it's a really cool time to be part of customer support because, again, it's this new world. It looks really different to what it looked like before, where you just did one thing, move on to the next thing and the next and the next. And often it'd be repetitive. Now it's about spending more time with customers and really making them successful rather than trying to, you know, hurry them up and move on to the next thing.
Yeah, I love that. What about like CS people managers? How has the role of leadership and people management changed in this new world?
Yeah, I touched on this briefly about my first management job and all the spreadsheets. I'm just thinking about how much cool stuff is on its way and even already available to us in terms of AI generated insights. Instead of like, you know, building all these reports and spending ages trying to make sure if you have the correct filter, the new world is going to be that you're fed up these insights by AI. And you get to decide then, you know, how you're going to action or what you're going to do with it. And instead of so much time manually trying to figure out where to even start, you're going to be given the insights that you need to go and take the action that you need, be it, you know, all these conversations have come in about this one feature. I need to go and speak to the product manager in that area and help them understand that customers are very confused about this, or like all these feature requests that have come along. So rather than the manual tagging and the manual reporting that was going on in the past, this is going to be actually given to support managers to really be able to understand where it is that they can have an impact company-wide. And even when I think about how they can help coach and manage their individuals on their teams, their direct reports, again, there's going to be all sorts of new, some of it exists already, right? But it's such a new world that so much more is going to come, where they're going to be given insights into like where the agents on their team can maybe make improvements. What types of conversations are taking agents longer to get through? Does that mean it's more difficult? Does it mean that they need more training? Where is CSAT low for certain customers or certain agents? There's just so much more information that they're going to have, but it's going to be served to them in a way that they actually know what to do with it and take action. Because I think part of the problem right now is like data overload sometimes. There's so many places that you could look and you don't even know where to get started. Whereas in this new world for a manager, I think they're going to be fed the insights that they need to take the action that they need and have the impact that they want to have.
Yeah, I like to joke that support is made up of a bunch of like former emo kids and theater kids who do not get joy from the data side of running support. And, you know, what was once a non-energizing part of the job, like now can be, because AI is, like you said, serving this up, giving you these insights, telling you where you need to go to be able to like make an impact on the business. And so I think while that's maybe scary, it's also like a really cool part of support leadership that's changing because...
Yeah. And I think about, you know, obviously this isn't everybody in support. Some folks do like the data and like to get, you know, stuck in and try and understand it. And some folks love spreadsheets. I'm not one of those people. And if you said to me a couple of years ago that I would be like super excited about bots helping humans rather than be like, oh, like, do we have to use the bots? I never thought that would be a world that I'm in, right? And now today, here I am overseeing a team who implements this stuff. And I'm genuinely so excited for what it means for the future for customers and for managers, agents, everybody in a support org and for the whole company, because the insights that they can get back, right, from the support team being able to work more effectively, like it's incredible.
That's super cool. One other thing to tag on before we move on, I think for people managers is this like shifting idea that CS customer support's like filled with like entry level positions and that you have these folks that are just junior in their careers. And I look at the makeup now of our human support team, and these are a lot of folks that this is their like third, fourth like support job. They've been in supports doing highly technical or complex supports, you know, for 5-7 years. And so I think for people managers, it's really shifting this idea of like, okay, like how do I teach people like the basics of the professional workforce, or like teach them how like to do the fundamentals of CS, and really like having to up your people leadership game, like the type of goal setting or the type of work that you're having them take on is going to be totally different in this new world of AI. So again, it's like an exciting space for people managers as well to have to like go up the rung as well.
Yeah, totally. And when I think about folks entering the workforce, that's such an interesting discussion that I don't really have the answer for right now. But interestingly, our founder Des was speaking about this recently too, because now support folks, the team is, you know, made up of people who are experienced, well able to troubleshoot, well able to be really consultative with customers. In this world, like, where do people actually learn those original, the skills that like the entry level would have taught folks before, you know? So do we need to do more of that with kids in school, like get them really ready for the workforce? TBD where that's going, you know, but that's something that's on my mind about, like, well, when I think about my first support job, would I get that today? I don't think so. So like, how are we going to make sure that the humans are ready for this new world as well? And I think that's a really interesting challenge that we need to figure out as a society as a whole.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like it definitely applies to support, but like you could, I'm sure it's the same for like sales positions or entry level product engineering. So like you said, in space. Well, that flows well a bit to the next question. Can you share with listeners like how we're changing our enablement and like our development plans for agents in this new AI world, like when they're coming on, how we're helping them train and learn differently?
Yeah, this is a really interesting space. And I hope you can share some insights from the Intercom side of things as well. But again, it's around using AI to really understand where is it that people are struggling. So can we learn from, say, like the most recent new hire class? Can we see when they're out in the world dealing with customers? Can we see what it is that they've been taking longer with, struggling with, and apply that back to the new hire training? And then when I think about functionality like our new Fin AI Copilot, how can we use that to help new agents or new folks onboard? So there was the previous, you know, the old world where they would have a product buddy, not to say that that's gone completely, but you'd have like an onboarding buddy who's a human who's there to answer every single question that comes up of a new person. But now today, like we know this, right? That now one of our agents can sit down and they have the whole world of our external knowledge base, our internal knowledge base, previous conversation history with other customers. They can just type the question in and get an instant response. They're not like bothering anybody. And they can learn from that, which is unbelievable. I mean, if I had that for all the times I joined a company and I was like, I need to ask this person a question again, and they look busy, they're on the phone or they're in a meeting, to be able to actually just like type it into the little box and get the answer immediately. Like the efficiency gains from that, I just think it's absolutely amazing.
Yeah, and like we all know that feeling of, yeah, like it's like, oh, I'm bothering somebody. And you're like, I'm 90% sure this is what it is, but like, I would just love to like triple check. And so having a bot to be able to do that just gives it right there. So, yeah. And then you touched on this briefly, but like, yeah, like how do you see maybe mentorship changing for the team that's bringing on new hires, that mentorship, the leadership and development?
Yeah, it's similar, right? Where like the mentor is not going to be answering the repetitive questions, similar to like how they're not going to be answering these repetitive basic questions with customers as well. They're going to be, you know, more deeply involved in helping somebody this piece around, like, you know, helping customers be more successful, really understand what they're looking for, really go above and beyond, rather than, I suppose, spending their time answering questions that potentially could have been found in a help doc if the person just knew what term to search, right? Whereas Fin AI Copilot is going to be able to actually like serve that up to them faster, free up time for the mentor as well, to be able to spend time on more meaningful things than the kind of back and forth repetitive stuff of before.
Yeah, it's like, I see a lot of analogies to like how the work with customers will change for like working with new hires. Again, it's like teaching them, telling them the things that like they don't know to ask, or when people like the really complex, sticky things, it's like, okay, the reason why Fin AI Copilot didn't have an answer is because this is a whole new process that just launched 5 hours ago and we haven't added it to the content source yet. So like, here's where you go to find that. And so those like kind of broader skills guiding them through it.
Totally. Yeah. And like actually, you know, onboarding people into this world of knowledge management as well. I even think about, you know, we want to drive a knowledge management culture on our team because it's the knowledge that powers the bot, both for customer facing Fin AI agent and for the internal Fin AI Copilot. Like we need the content to keep being created, right? Every time somebody answers a question, like we need to make sure that that's being used by Fin then for the future. And if somebody spots gaps in knowledge, that they're suggesting that into the content strategy to make sure it can be used next time. It doesn't need to be written down again, that, you know, the bots can actually surface that back to folks. So it's that content flywheel that we really need to encourage. And when I think about onboarding new folks, like when is a better time than at the very start to explain to them why this stuff is so important and get them ingrained in that sort of behavior early on, that they are always thinking in this continuous improvement mindset and they can actually see the power of what they contribute, how that's going to help the next person and help the next customer.
That's really great. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Ruth. Look forward to doing this conversation again in probably like 9 months when the world will continue to have changed. And thanks for being here.
All right. Thank you very much.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Ticket newsletter at intercom.com/blog/newsletter to receive bi-weekly insights into customer service trends and strategies directly to your inbox. The link, as always, is in the show notes. That's it for today's episode of The Ticket. Thanks for listening.